All right, well, let's go ahead and get started, and Tony can catch up when he gets here. So let's start with the roll call. Mr. Coffin?
Here.
Ms. Hedrick?
Here.
Cody?
Here.
Katrina?
Here.
Bill?
Here.
Kim Krause?
Here.
And I'm here, and Mr. Conway will not be here this evening. And then we did receive a copy of the agenda from our August 30th meeting, and I've got just a couple comments on it. Has everybody had a chance to review?
Agenda?
Yeah, the
minutes.
Oh, we've got to approve the agenda for tonight, don't we? I'm sorry. Does the any comments or changes to the agenda?
I'd like to comment on Council Bill 19616 sometime.
Okay. Do you want to add it to new business or put it under general comments?
New business, generally.
Okay. And what's the bill?
19616.
Okay. So, and that's a city ordinance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Proposed city ordinance.
Proposed city ordinance. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, can someone please move for approval?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. In favor?
Aye.
All right. Any? No. Any opposed? Okay, now to minutes. Comments, additions, corrections. I can start. The first one is Maria Oropalo, is her last name is spelled O-R-O-P-A-L-L-O. And there is a, there are a couple typos on page 3. There might be before that, but I, you know, these were the first things I noticed. About two-thirds of the way down the page, there's a sentence that reads, Mr. Windsor indicated that while there is a statement in the city charter about...
She fixed a few online.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, okay. That she didn't get... Granicus was down for a good part of the day today, so...
Okay, so some of these basic ones...
Right, there might be a few that are fixed.
Page 2,
though.
Page 2, said I may say... Statement Mr. Coffin as to the demand was based on customer class instead of it should be or. Customer class or kilowatt demand.
Oh, I see.
Should be or instead of.
Or. Good. It's up a little bit higher.
One, two, three.
Okay. Thank you. And we might spell kilowatt out.
Just a couple of sentences after that, it says Mr. Water is looked at by the seasonal variation.
We've got that one down.
Okay. Okay.
I've got that on my list too.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So we just to all of our minutes, we'd like to add a statement that says that a full that the recording of the full meeting is available online at this, and then with the a URL to that location. Okay. On page 4 in the third paragraph under general comments by public members and staff, this is more of a content question. Starting with the third sentence, Mr. Clark added that he is very interested in knowing what standard the city uses in measuring cash reserves. And then that next sentence says, if the city could actually bring back to this group a kind of written explanation of what the goal is and what goes into that. It seems like it's either the first part of a phrase or...
like a fragment sentence.
Yeah, I'm just not sure what it...
Mr. Clark forwarded a transcription of his portion of the task force meeting that he participated in.
I'm sorry?
Did you get the transcript that John forwarded?
The transcript that John forwarded? The transcript is on the recorded version of the meeting. So we can clarify this for the minutes.
I think some of these things ought to be mentioned in the minutes, so...
I'm sorry?
Some of these things should be mentioned in the minutes.
That's the exercise that we're going through. Is there okay. parts of it you'd like to include?
All of it.
We're not doing a verbatim transcript.
This isn't verbatim.
Okay, well then I suggest we go over the remaining pieces that people are thinking about... as changes, and then table it, and we can look at that suggested. If Mr. Whitekemper is introducing the transcript,
yes.
We can take a look at it and decide what we want to include and not include at the next meeting. So what are the other changes?
Chris Bloom on the second paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Made him statement rather than Michael McMahon. Page 4.
Okay, that makes sense. I couldn't tell on the phone actually who that was.
And on down in the paragraph, it made his Mr. McMahon again.
Right.
I recall he came early but left. Is that?
Yeah, he left halfway through.
He was not here at the end of the meeting.
Michael.
Yeah, he left.
Okay.
In the middle of the meeting.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? So we will table and review next week. Okay. We have a scheduling conflict for the second public hearing date. Where's my availability? So, I mean, the short of it is we need to move it off of the 11th because of other conflicts they have. So we had full agreement on Wednesday the 12th at 7 p.m. in terms of people being available, and at 5.
Since then they put the storm and sewer IMP meeting at 5:30 at the ARC that evening.
On the 12th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'd rather we didn't.
Right. No, I agree.
Go up against that. It's also, they also have one on the 19th.
So. Okay. Unfortunately, the availability of people on the 10th and the 13th is pretty limited. Wait, did you just say that, Katrina, the 19th?
The 19th is the second meeting for the Storm and Sewer IMP, also at 5:30. They're both at 5:30. I don't know how long those are expected to go.
I just feel like there's such a overlap of interest that trying to double them up would be... So I guess I have two questions. Is we probably should find a second public hearing date, but also, do we want to keep that meeting? Do we want to keep a meeting on the 18th as a working meeting? Because it's the public hearing part is the problem. It's the room and setup of the room.
Is it the time or the entire evening?
It should have pulled my notes out before I came, but my recollection of it is it would be really hard for the evening.
Okay. So both the 18th and the 11th are problems, or just?
No, the set meeting is fine. The public hearing on the 18th is fine. It's the 11th that there's a problem.
I thought they were both public hearings.
They are. But are we going to have two? No, I'm sorry, you're right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
So it's the meeting on the 11th that I'm asking if we should go ahead.
Just as a regular meeting.
Just as a regular meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I may have been having a regular meeting on the
11th. Say that again, Bill, sorry.
I may have been having a regular meeting on the 11th.
Okay.
At 7 o'clock.
I feel like we'll probably need it.
Right.
I do too.
Okay, so we'll keep that one as a meeting.
At 7?
At 7.
So the one on the 18th is at 5, and that's the public hearing? That is okay. And
yes, we're
still
just it's actually at
another.
7.
It's at 7.
Yeah.
Because the agenda says it's at 5. 5. Which I know was the time, at least in my notes I have, that was the time we were going to do it on the 11th. So we're just looking for another.
Right. On my.
So the agenda is wrong. The public hearing date's at 5 p.m. October 18th. It should say 7 p.m.
Right, though we...
Or we can do it at 5.
Or we can do it at 5, right. Does anybody have an issue with doing that at 5 on the 18th? Okay, so let's stick with that one.
It'd be 5 to 7.
Yeah.
2 hours.
I know we had some hesitation when we were talking about it, or some people did, but I'm okay with just one public meeting. I mean, that would be one option.
We decided not to split it up, if my memory is serving. Because at one time we were talking about splitting them up.
By content area.
Yeah.
Right. It's okay.
Maybe one would be fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, we always have public comment, so. Okay.
So we will have a meeting on the 11th, 7 to 9, mm-hmm. in one of the conference rooms.
Right.
And then on October 18th at 5, we will have the club booking public here.
Great.
In the chambers. Council chambers.
Right. Okay, there we go. Okay, press discussion of last week's, 2 weeks ago's presentation. And recommendations. Well, I don't want to have the entirety of this discussion without Mr. Conway.
Did John submit recommendations?
He did not. I got an email.
No, we've got some from several parties, but not
right.
John's yet.
Right. He said, he let me know that they're not ready for tonight, that he wasn't ready.
Didn't he send recommendations?
Stormwater. Electric sewer and stormwater.
That's from Bill.
That's from Bill, right.
I thought he sent some sheet, but he said he has another draft he wants to wait to send.
Right. Well, then
this is what, yeah. He had sent, I gave us last week.
Last week, yes.
Or 2 weeks
ago. Do you just bring those hard copy? I don't remember seeing them.
Yeah, me either. That's what I'm trying to do.
Probably hard copy.
I don't remember getting the copy.
Well, let's start with...
I had a couple of comments about Mr. Winter's presentation.
Yes, okay.
I'd like to clarify on the water usage.
Okay.
There's two classifications of customers in water, residential and commercial.
And large commercial.
So three?
Is that three then?
Yes.
Okay.
What's the difference between commercial and large commercial?
Large commercial average more than 500 CCF in the non-summer months. They are the large users of water that are fairly stable. Hospitals, some of the manufacturers that use water, there's a fairly limited number of them.
And the rate for where you use less than 500,000 cubic feet is 2.60
If that's the commercial rate, yes. I don't have them memorized, I'm sorry.
And the rate for commercial customers use more than 500,000, 50,000 cubic feet is 2.43. The more water you use, the lower the rate.
In the non-summer months, that's true.
Okay. Also on the, how you calculate the surcharge, the summer surcharge?
Yes.
70% of the customers average monthly water usage during the immediate preceding calendar months of January, February, March.
Correct.
Under definitions, 2716, it says the surcharge is calculated based on the amount of water. And the water that exceeds 120% of the customer's average monthly water usage in the month of January, February, March.
I think when that's one of the things that the definitions haven't been changed probably. And when this was originally done in 1990, that's what it was. However, it is modified in each of the rates, not in the definitions. We are currently going through Chapter 27, trying to clean up a lot of the old stuff that isn't looked at very often. That certainly is probably one we need to clean up. But in the rates themselves, defines the point at which the surcharge is put in place.
But it references Section 2716.
I'd have to look at the ordinances. I can't answer you right now. I'll have to look at the ordinances.
That's it. If you look at them, let me know.
Certainly.
Thank you.
So I'm not totally clear on what you're asking about, Bill.
There's two different surcharges in the ordinance mm-hmm. for summer usage. One in 27122 and one in 2716.
Okay.
They contradict themselves.
Okay.
I'm just asking you which one is correct.
The one in the 27122 is correct.
That's for water, right?
Yes.
Right. So do you read it like Mr. Whitekemper does? Do you agree that they contradict themselves?
If that's what it says, they do.
Okay.
But the one that is used for the rates that are charged and has been are the ones that are in the actual ordinance of what the charges are. Residential okay. used to be based on the winter average also, but it was changed a few years ago, and it's at 2 CCF right now. Anything above that is charged. Commercial and any customer and master meter customers all pay above 70%, and that percentage has moved down from at one point 120% since 1990. Irrigation, people that have separate irrigation meters pay, there is no reduction at all.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at zero. And those are all in the rates themselves.
Well, do those surcharge rates reflect back to the cost of sewer?
Not sewer, no.
No, because they're just basically the water charge.
That's water.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're in the process of looking at 27, but it might still be helpful to have a recommendation that suggests making sure there's consistency in
sure.
the ordinance.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in place. Some of it from 1964, so we're trying to update everything that needs to be updated.
And what's the process for that update?
Well, staff is going through it. We have regular meetings, and we're just progressing through the code and highlighting the areas. Some of it we're referring to legal say this is what we believe and how should it be changed. Some of it we're referring to finance. Some of it the divisions are rewriting, and we'll come back and we'll discuss it. We are not, we do have rate changes proposed, which are part of that, but those are not part of the, you know, weren't trying to rush through and get something all at once. So we'll bring those to council perhaps by the end of the year. I'm not sure. It just depends on how long we take to get through the whole process.
For the water and light rate issues, do they go back to the board before they go to the council?
Yes.
Okay. So the board will review and provide comment?
They already have.
Okay.
Okay. Did you have something else on that topic?
No.
Bill? Okay, great. Okay. Well, do you want to start with these recommendations? At least for electric and sewer and anything that might involve Mr. Windsor's time tonight? Or as well as other comments or questions about the presentation last week?
I'd recommend we hold off on the electrical discussions until John's here. If he's going to be drafting the recommendations, he's probably got the most versed in those particular areas. But I do think maybe we should go through the sewer.
Okay.
Ones that Bill has, if we have time.
Let's do it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think we should focus on the ones that are most related and relevant to Mr. Windsor's presentations and questions that he can respond to since we have this time.
I agree.
And if they are electric related in that sense, we can make sure we revisit next week with John when he's here.
Are you starting at the top then?
Yeah.
We'll start at one, and if we're going to table it, we'll just put T and then we'll go on
next. Yep. There you go. Okay, the 1A is about establishing an electric system connection fee to be assessed to the owner of each new or expanded property. So is new or expanded property means whenever there's a permit issued, or what's...
What's the trigger?
It'd be a permit, yeah. Permit.
Any permit.
For a new property or a new property.
So it would just be really a request for connection. Correct. I mean,
yeah.
So it would
assuming that the permit is going to require electrical connection.
A new property would require a new connection. Mm-hmm. Which you could have an expanded property that was expanding over, you know, like 3M did several years ago. Mm-hmm.
They expanded their electrical capacity without expanding their facility?
I'm not sure.
So,
but very significantly expanding their operation, maybe using more electricity.
Well, if they altered their facility, but switched out their.
They could vary.
Would there be a permit for that?
A company could come in and build a base plant or base business and bring in large enough service for a planned expansion down the road. So they really shouldn't go pay another connection fee if they've already paid it up front for a larger service for future growth. So it would be, if it was not included and they had to run new circuits or expand other circuits, increasing to allow that service to be connected.
What's the process if you get larger? Switch out your service.
Yeah, how do you get more service?
There is. Well, I increased several years ago my service from a 100 amp to a 200 amp. You have to go to the building department and get a permit. The service drop may need to be rewired. There are changes in infrastructure at the customer level.
It was kind of like a request for like a service order.
kind of deal, isn't it? More so than a permit, or is it actually?
It is a permit. It's a permit. You have to have a permit.
And it's, is it electrical upgrade permit or something?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And there are fees already associated with it, right?
Yes.
Where did they go?
With the permitting process, not with the electrical work being done.
So are those fees more to cover the administrative cost?
In building permits and in the inspection process.
Okay.
I think the, just by taking the word property, I'd put in service in there probably corrects most of the concern I have, because I could see where you wouldn't really be increasing your service if you already bought it once.
So expanded service.
If you put a 200 amp panel in and you're only using 100 amp and then you decided to add another addition to your home, you shouldn't have to pay for another 200 amp service connection fee.
If it's already there.
Okay.
Right, it's already
so
there.
Change property to service is what you're saying. Yeah. I like that.
Has John explained that the line extension policy that the Water and Light Board is already looking
John Conway?
Yeah. We heard that briefly when he was... Yeah.
Can you... What was that called again?
Line extension policy.
Line extension policy.
Yeah, I believe we need to look at that before we make a recommendation on this connection.
Okay.
There's a council memo about recommendation.
The line extension fee is essentially a connection fee.
Well, and it is... It is different. I mean, electric is, it's a substantially different utility than water and sewer. Very simplistic, you have a relatively low cost of infrastructure versus the amount of energy or sales that you will have across the infrastructure. And it is very flexible. So what you pay for today may not be actually what you're using tomorrow, because we ship stuff around from the feeds that serve certain areas of town that don't have that flexibility as much with water and sewer. And they are a relatively high cost infrastructure with a low sales volume. So typically utilities look at extension policies rather than connection policies. An example, the co-ops typically, a co-op will run a certain amount of line at no charge. Beyond that, the customer pays. We had a consultant look at this issue and brought back a report. The legal department is reviewing it relative to Hancock, because when you establish new fees, it has to pass the Hancock test or else it has to be voted on. That process is ongoing on the line extension. I know that there's interest both on the board and on the council for that to come forward. There is value in electric customers, and that the utility pays for a portion of that cost, because the repayment is relatively quick versus the infrastructure cost. So that's part of the discussion, is how much of that. I mean, and the reason being, I mean, you can take the transmission line and substation as an example. That's already needed because of the loading in that part of town. And you just can't incrementally, we'll just go up a little bit to cover that. You can't do that. You have to essentially overbuild to address the current problem. So the decision is, you now have a system that's quite a bit, has more capability, and the current customers are all paying for that. Do you recognize that more people helping to pay for that cost and spreading it out is some kind of value, and then something above that is the cost that the customer should bear? And that's kind of what the line extension policy analysis does. It recognizes a value of what that customer is going to contribute within a certain risk tolerance, be it residential, commercial, or industrial. That the larger the customer, the shorter the risk tolerance, because you're not assured that that customer is going to be there. So that's what the line extension policy attempts to do. A connection fee for an electric utility is probably, I mean, I'm not aware of any, I mean, but I haven't studied the issue, but the consultant has, and so he came back with a line extension policy rather than the connection fee.
Is it, are you aware of any communities or anywhere that it's standard practice to?
Typically, I think that utilities are moving to line extension policies, and certainly the co-ops, as I said, because of their distances, that's certainly a typical practice for co-ops. But I'm not aware of any connection fees per se.
And I think I've probably asked this question before when Tad was here, but a transformer is paid for by the city. So a new development goes in, and the city is putting payment and installing the transformer, not the development.
That's correct.
Well, it depends if it's dedicated or not, but generally, yes.
So, you know, a connection fee, in theory, could be used to pay for the transformer, so that versus the city pay for the transformer. But.
Well, all of that is, I mean, the total cost of installation is part of the line extension policy analysis. So those costs are included in what does it cost to have this customer.
Okay, so that's captured in there. Yes. So we really do, I agree with Cody, we need to study that a little bit further before we need, because it just seems like it would be overlapped.
Yeah, I believe we've asked for it before and we just haven't seen it yet.
Right. Any duplication on this electric?
Okay, but the overall goal of one A, or electric recommendation A, is to ensure that new development costs are covered by the development process. Is that fair, Bill? Is that the idea?
Yes.
So the line extension.
If the line extension does that, then.
We don't want to get caught up in semantics. We want to address the equity issue around development. Okay, so. The outcome of that is we want to look at the line extension policy under consideration. All right, B. Ask a third party to review current methods of accounting for utility depreciation to determine our level of compliance with the charter and ordinance. And to apply any excess revenues to general fund.
The applicability to our committee. This seems like a topic that the Water Light Board should be addressing, not this particular group. So
I can see that. I could go either way with recommending something or not recommending something. If we do recommend something, I feel like I would support. I agree with this statement right here. Especially to the part where it says, it seems like you're asking two different things in the same sentence and kind of gets confusing to me, but all the way up to determine if the city is in compliance with the requirements of the city charter and city ordinance, period, right there. I definitely feel like I don't see anything wrong with that, and even though it's only marginally in our scope since we're focusing on downtown and this is the whole electric utility type issue. It seems like you could go either way, whether we make a recommendation towards it or not.
Right. I mean, at some level, this is an accounting practices issue, right? Public accounting practices issue.
get it.
Yes.
But I mean, I don't feel, I don't see that as a deterrent to us making a recommendation.
Right, recommendations are cheap.
Yeah, and I mean, you make a recommendation on anything concerning, I mean, I feel right. like we have that.
It is related.
Flexibility.
Yes, right.
Could you end the first sentence, or the end it with current methods of accounting for utility depreciation, period, and then lop off the rest of that?
Well, I feel like the whole reason you're asking them to look at it is because you want to, you're asking them to look at it in relationship if we're in compliance with the current requirements, because that's the only reason I feel like I even, or else I wouldn't say, I feel like it's a kind of a useless recommendation if we're just saying we need somebody to look at this, because I don't necessarily think it's being done wrong. I just feel like there's a question out there is if we're in compliance with some previously written rule.
Well, there's that issue, and then I think that the last phrase is really the issue of it's sort of out there of concern to some people is where the money sits within different parts of the city. So I guess the only thing I would say is that I would like to contextualize it with the information of what the current sort of auditing and compliance process already is. And
wouldn't you say that would contextualize it based on how are we doing it right now?
Right.
And I feel like he's went over that.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
And do you think it's a stretch to assume what we should recommend to do with the money if there is any surplus or if it's not sufficient? It's just really, I agree, if we're going to do anything, it would just be to see if we're in compliance with the charter. Because if there's excess revenue, it really shouldn't go to general fund. It should be used to reduce or hold down rate growth because that's a utility. Not so that we're funding general fund with utilities in that case.
That's not what the charter says, though. Charter says it goes to the general fund.
If they're collecting excess.
Yes.
It also says that the council may reduce rates as an alternative if there were excess, which there are not.
But. Right. I mean, I think there are a number of different reasonable, but what you do with the money is a policy decision, right?
Correct.
Right. So, is the emphasis on establishing and understanding if we're in, if we're acting in compliance? Yeah.
It could be possible that they realize that they aren't fully funding the depreciation fund as needed. And the only way to do that is to increase rates. And will that be palatable to the community? And is it necessary? So.
That's when you get a charter amendment.
Sorry.
It's when you get a charter amendment.
A charter amendment, yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is how anybody else would proceed, but once John and we have John here, I would personally, I would feel comfortable, I'm not doing it right now, but I would make a motion to see if this task force would make the recommendation as Bill has it written, and just put a period at the end of ordinance and scratch off the last two sentences and see what the vote is on that. Do you guys, would people be willing to vote on that? Is that too close? Is that close enough to something everybody's, or I don't know, what I'm trying to get at, but
that seems reasonable to me.
Right. I agree that we should table it until Mr. Conway has a chance to participate
in,
because he has a strong opinion on this also. I like the idea of, what's the best way to say this? I think you could split this where you recommended a period, Cody, and then we could
if we wanted to think
about
the
second
we could vote on that too.
As a recommendation also.
So but, C.
Right. So would you be comfortable, Bill, with moving that last part of the sentence into a C section for consideration?
Sure.
Thank you.
What would C say then?
Well, it would need to wordsmith. It's not a full sentence right now, but it would address the issue of making sure the depreciation fund is properly funded, and what happens to excess revenue. Kind of got two thoughts and one recommendation, and we're just trying to split them out.
Just personally, I don't know if I have a feeling or opinion without more information on whether I really agree that the excess revenue should go to the general fund or to pay down debt or keep the rates where they are. I feel like
right, so it might be sort
getting
of
into something I'm not comfortable yet.
Right, might be sort of
some
general.
Other people might be.
Yeah, I mean, if a study's done and realize there is a deficiency of some sort, that, to me, that's the Waterline Board's in the city to come up with a solution for council to approve or alter.
Right.
Yeah, we can
recommend they address it.
Yeah, make recommendations
which
on theoretical.
A number of solutions.
Right.
And the second part of this is kind of makes an assumption that there is more than enough funds to cover the depreciation fund, and there may likely not be enough.
I don't even know if I know enough to know that.
I know, I don't.
The charter list all of the things that the revenue is supposed to be used for a depreciation. Mm-hmm. There are significant other things that are also mentioned, including paying the pilot fund and the maintenance of the system. So it's not just the depreciation.
Right.
Do you differentiate, I don't know how much you're on the budgeting side on the rate, but do you differentiate your repair and renovation, which is part of your capital plan for existing asset, as part of your depreciation investment?
Yes.
Okay. So part of your, you call your capital plan CFP, is just basically sustaining the existing assets.
Right.
Versus new capital.
Right.
And that's part of that depreciation.
Right. I mean, there are projects that are specifically targeted to expansion and to maintenance. So, and by maintenance, I mean replacing.
Repair and replacement of existing assets as they depreciate.
And there's a separate depreciation fund for each utility.
There is not a depreciation fund, because what the charter says is that the depreciation, this is the finance department's interpretation.
Okay.
That because it says in the charter that a depreciation fund or current engineering and accounting standards. So what the finance department says is that based on current accounting standards, GASB rules, basically, a depreciation fund as defined is not the modern standard of how that is done. Because this was written in 1949 or 48 or whatever it was written.
64.
No, it was written before. The charter was written before that. Under modern accounting standards, which are the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, which are federally determined for municipals, that supersedes that particular phrase in the charter. Because the other part of the phrase is, or engineering and accounting standards.
So what's the right way to say it? What I had understood from a conversation with Mr. Conway is that we track our depreciation by utility.
That is true.
Okay.
As a non-cash expense.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Should we look at electric and sewer recommendations? Any other comments on B? Okay. So Bill is proposing that under 2A, we assess a customer charge to the owner of each property where city electric or sewer provided, regardless of whether the property is master metered or individually metered. And then he has a set of recommendations about how that might work in different scenarios. And regardless of whether the meter is on or off.
Are we just a writing how it's written question? Is the main gist of this recommendation we should have, and I might not be using the right terms that you want to use here, Bill, but is the main gist of it we should be charging a base charge whether the meter's on or off?
You should be charging some type of a charge whether the meter's on or off, yes.
And then you just kind of go through whether or not this or this is happening, and regardless of this or this, you're essentially just saying there needs to be a charge whether the meter's on and off. That's what 2A is saying, right?
There's one thing, and
the other's about the master meter.
But this isn't specifically about the master meter at all, is it? You put it in there, and I'm thinking it's just confusing it, because I don't think you're making a recommendation, are you? Or maybe I'm. Yeah. That's what I wanted to ask, I guess.
I think so, and the fourth part of that relates to the master metering issue.
The way I read it is that he's proposing that we treat every dwelling or business unit
as a customer.
As a customer with a customer, or I'm not sure what the difference is between a customer and base fee semantically, but that whether they have a master meter or each unit is metered, that each unit gets charged a charge. Right?
It'd be more equitable the way I propose it's being done present time. At the present time, there's a base charge and a minimum charge. It's based on the size of the meter. Which when you're in master meters, it's not equitable.
In the case of the master meter, is your interpretation that the rental owner, the property owner, pays a fee for each dwelling?
Yes.
So if he's got an 8-plex apartment, he's going to pay his meter base fee plus a charge for each of the 8 duplex or apartments in that 8-plex?
No, probably the meter charge will go away.
The meter charge would go away, but you'd be paying for each dwelling.
Yes.
But how would you handle the situation we talked about last time about the fact you could have a central served service, such as heating and cooling, or even solar energy that would be separate and distributed throughout the apartment complex.
Or business.
Like my business. My building I own, we have three tenants, but I pay the utilities on all of it. Mm-hmm. Each person pays a percentage, so if the city doesn't know that we have three tenants, I don't guess.
I do now.
I was trying to understand, yeah, how would that work?
I think it'd be kind of complicated.
I mean, obviously.
It makes easy sense in a simple apartment or a fourplex or eightplex, but if they're getting into some of these combinations, we're seeing a lot of buildings go in that have centralized services.
There's a definition we're drawing in the ordinance. If it meets the definition we're drawing, then it's a customer.
Does the city know that a building has a certain number of tenants?
It doesn't matter.
Right. So, I mean, right now you don't have that information available to you. If you wanted to switch it over, how would you collect that information?
This would be counter to industrial practices throughout the country for water and electric utilities in particular. Because they do have metered services, because there are costs associated with that, because they do have people going to those locations every month, they are different than sewer substantially. The cost of service for sewer, the recommendation was that the base charge represent 40% of the cost. That wasn't necessarily cost-based, it is more revenue assurity. You can't just lump all of the utilities the same and think that everything applies the same, because they don't. Even on sewer, the recommendations from the cost of service isn't that if there was a master meter group, they would be a separate class of customer. And the charges for that class of customer would be split between base charges and volume. So it would be different for that group of customers than it would be for residential or commercial. So I don't know what is attempting to be accomplished, but what I'm saying is there's no simple solution, and the way that it is currently done, and unless all utilities need to change what they're doing, is that the cost of service analysis and the practices that are in place are addressing equity, and utilities have to be responsive to the changes of technology, and you can't simply apply a charge and believe that that's going to do it. I wish it was that simple, but it's not.
What's trying to be accomplished is increase revenue without raising rates. The sewer base charge for a 5-inch water meter is $11.56 after it's been adjusted next week.
But if rates are based on usage, isn't the equity realized based
in
on
volume?
Based on volume.
Equity is based. Volume is equitable now.
Okay.
But there's two components to the charge. The base charge, which also has to be equitable. The base charge for a master metered 200-unit building is $184. The base charge for individually metered, for sewer, for individually metered 200-unit building is $2,312. That's not equitable. It's not. The big difference between $2,312 and $184 for the base charge.
You've been trying to drive this to such specific detail on a recommendation. And I know you're trying to accomplish and solve the problem, but wouldn't it be simpler to just provide a recommendation that the city establish a more equitable application of the connection, not that connection, but the customer charge to account for the differences between a master meter and a centimeterly metered facility. Yeah, to answer the question you're asking, the 184 versus a 2,000 or something, maybe there's a tiered rate structure versus a single rate for the meter type structure.
I say like a charge per unit would get the same result. Mm-hmm. If you charge so much, $11.50 per dwelling unit, multiply that times the number of dwelling units. I think that's what we're talking about.
I never quite caught, Bill, the second number you mentioned.
If a 200-unit apartment building has got individual meters, mm-hmm. they charge $11.56 for each meter.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's $2,312.
I see.
If it's got a master meter, they charge $184.97.
So,
but would there really be a net gain? Because if you have that many more meters, you've got that many more meters to provide, to service, to maintain, to read, to calibrate, to, I don't know what all you do with meters, but the more meters you have, the more each meter costs. So I just wanted...
So instead of adding meters, why don't you just add up the number of units and multiply them by that number?
So that was, don't I think, you your other point, point that wasn't so.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In your last, in number four? Do you touch on that?
Right.
The sum of fees that would have been charged for each unit of the facility had it been separately metered.
That fee is going to go to the landlord, and the landlord's then going to apply it somehow.
I'm not saying, I'm not proposing to add meters.
You're proposing
revenue.
Add revenue.
But if you increase revenue, you're going to have to balance somewhere else. I mean, you may bring in an excess amount of that revenue.
Annual rates.
Which how is the objective. Base fee? What are the rules of the base fee? Is there a check?
The right now, I mean, once again, you got to separate the utilities. There is the water and electric rates are equitable. They are based on costs associated with, and it doesn't matter for water that a meter serves a business that has multiple. The consumption is the same mm-hmm. as a fourplex or whatever. It is the cost associated with that meter of that service that is providing that. Sewer is different in the sense that the concept there, if you want to charge a base charge by unit, but once again, if you're talking about equity, you'd almost have to count toilets in a building. I mean, it doesn't matter that it is a house or an apartment or a business. It is, what is the capability of that service? So you do capture a lot of it in the volumetric charge. The issue that the cost of service study, the consultant recommendation of 40% as the goal was more revenue insurance than actual cost. They did address the base of the master meter, but once again, it said the master meter group would be a separate group of customers. Now, the reality is the overwhelming majority of master meter customers are very small. I think they started doing that when they started converting houses to apartments so there's a whole bunch of very small services, 5/8 inch water meters. And there's only a limited number of the large apartment buildings in comparison. I don't know what the number of units is because we don't track that because of our rate structures. It's not necessary. But you could theoretically pull that group out and then say, okay, of this group of customers, what should the base charge be to garner 40%. Now, the problem is those really small customers are going to pay a high base charge, and is that equitable? Or is it equitable? Right now, Master Meter customers are classified in commercial as, I mean, in sewer as commercial customers, and they pay based on the water usage every month, whereas residential customers pay based on the average of the winter months. And so it never varies. So we would have to go through a significant amount of analysis to see whether there really was any difference in revenue, because it is a commercial class right now, they pay by volume every month, all year long. So, I mean, I don't have good answers for you, but those are the kind of things that we need to look at. I mean, if you guys want to make a recommendation that we do a more effective analysis of sewer revenue, I think that's appropriate. But simply saying that we need to arbitrarily apply base charges to apartments in particular, you know, this building has a whole lot of toilets in it, and there's a whole lot of people in it for quite a few hours out of the day. Why should this building be exempt from the same kind of charge? So, I mean, you know, it's just where do you draw that line? And some of it is you have to get back to what is administratively possible. So, I mean, we can think up a lot of things. Whether we can actually have a mechanism to do something with it is another matter.
Does the city pay utility bills?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
You give yourself a discount?
We do not give the water and electric away to anyone.
So. Goes in one pocket and then another.
Not sewers, always.
You got those special low-flow toilets, so you're all good.
You mentioned preparing a list of questions from the consultant on cost of service study. I did that in 2013 before Butler and Associates was hired in February 2014. It essentially ignored.
Those were the questions.
Everything is on this list. The recommendations was proposed to be looked at. I proposed to be looked at. They weren't.
So, Jim, you mentioned, and I want to make sure, just clarify this, that there's a relatively small group of Master Meter.
Well, there's something like 1,000. I don't have the numbers memorized or anything, but there's somewhere around 1,000 Master Meter customers in water. I assume a similar number in sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Of that, some around 700 of them have 5/8-inch meters, which is the smallest typical residential service, which tells me that those are converted houses now that may have, you know, they could have 2, 3, 4 apartments in them now. I don't know.
How hard would it be, or have you ever, you may have already done this, had your GIS guys map those? To answer that question, that seems really straightforward. Just map them and look at if you think that 700 or 70% of those are, you know, houses that are essentially probably on their way through their life cycle. So is this an issue or problem that's just going to age out relatively soon, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
They were identified in 2008 on the sewer side.
On the sewer side, so they're mapped.
That's the one you sent the bill to in 2008.
Bill to what?
Master Meter landlords. You know, it was approximately 11,000 volumes of these. At that time, there were 23 Master Meters. You mentioned today there's approximately 1,000 Master Meters.
There were 323 in 2008?
823. So you've got 170 additional Master Meters, or 170 additional Master Meters in 8 years.
Well, I said
you were just round numbers.
Yeah, I said I didn't know the number, but it was probably around 1,000.
Okay. So it could be 800.
They want to age out because the Rise has got matched water meters. Opus has got matched water meters.
But they probably don't have 1 5/8 inch pipes.
So they got 3 inch. They got 3 inch meter.
So they're paying the commercial rate.
Yeah, all master meter on the sewer side.
To me, this is a cost of services issue analysis more than anything, and I agree. It's to put individual meters on an apartment complex is just not realistic. And then charge everybody. It just seems like you still charge the master meter accordingly. But either that's through the surface rate connection, the volume throughput, or through the base rate, so that you're equitably collecting revenue from every dwelling and every business source. I think trying to drive it to specific detail like you are, Bill, I mean, maybe your solution, but there may be other solutions that are easier to administer, handle, to provide more equity. Because there's going to be more complexity. What happens today is going to change over time.
There's a base charge just for a 200 unit building.
Yeah, I've seen your...
It's not equitable at all.
I know it's not equitable now, but in a cost of service, say, it could change.
Well, there's a difference between equity and what the charge is. I mean, you're confusing issues, Bill. Yes, you can collect more revenue if you charge all of those. That doesn't mean that there are the accompanying costs associated with that justify, from an equitable standpoint, doing that. Just simply saying if you charge more, you're going to get more revenue, yeah, you will. But that's a different issue than simply than whether or not you are justified in charging that. And that's what needs more analysis.
I think each customer that uses city electricity or city water or city sewer service should be paying a customer charge.
They do.
No, they don't.
Every customer that is billed for those services pay a customer charge.
Every customer is billed.
Yes.
I'm not talking about the customers aren't billed. The resident of the master meter dwelling unit.
I can see there's this equity issue just between a single residential home and an apartment. Why should a single bedroom apartment pay the same base fee as I pay that has lots of bedrooms and bathrooms? So, I mean, that's an
issue. That's a different issue entirely.
Well, I was thinking a little bit along those lines. I guess it depends on where it is you decide that it's important to judge what is equitable. Mm-hmm. So if within the context of the utility, the base fee is based on how much it costs the city to service that property. That's the analysis to do. So does it really cost $11 a unit a month to service that master meter?
Well,
to be able to keep
unit,
service
no.
to that building,
no.
right, $11 a unit per month. I'm not sure that where we're at today is equitable either, but I'm not sure how to get there. And I'm not.
Well, we can strive to do their best job of getting there.
Right. And this is a very ignorant question, but so in a scenario like this, when doesn't Hancock play a role at some point in that?
Well, at some point it would, because you would be, I mean, you have to justify the charge.
Right.
You have to do it through the cost of service.
That's why I think our recommendation needs to be pulled back to be a little more less specific and more general to cost of service analysis to try to address the potential inequity between single metering and master metering, make sure that, you know, all parties are paying a fair share of the cost of the service.
Well,
But again, it's never going to be perfect because it's hard to differentiate. You got to draw lines in certain categories.
Right.
And to go to Bill's statement, he's trying to raise more money. And so you're exactly right, Greg. You would lower something else because the cost of service says here's how much total money you need. How you split it up is basically up to you. But here's the total money that you need. And the base charge, as Jim says, 40%, 60%, that's what they voted to do. Now, if you change that to where you're going to charge for each individual unit and raise more money, then you're going to reallocate how that base charge and that volume charge is divvied out because you only need X amount of money to do what you're doing.
And I, you know, it's my, the way I've thought about it for a long time is I do think that we over-subsidize the population that tends to live in places where they're master metered, generally as a city. But the issue is, how do you recoup the costs that they present to the city? And, you know, I'm not sure that we can pay for the increased cost to public safety through their water and sewer rates, right? I mean, that's not, you know, maybe our court fines are what needs to go up, or our parking fees, right? But not necessarily. This isn't necessarily a place to insert equity.
The throughput rate on the commercial needs to go up to account for that. I mean, it's just a cost of, it's a balancing act. I mean, you only need so much revenue to cover all your costs, and if you have excess, you need to reduce either your fee or your rate to match that. So if you increase one thing, you're going to have to decrease something else, unless you have a need or expense that could be justified for increasing a fee to have that income to spend on a need. But I don't think we have to get to the point of, you know, and I know you've got a lot of passion in this, but it just seems like we have to get to the details of exactly how to tell them to do that, more so than provide more of a generic recommendation on a cost of service analysis to address, you know, master metering and the associated inequities, the fees and rates associated with that.
So does the current cost of service studies make a distinction between, for master metered properties, between the size of the pipe? I mean, do you look at
what the current sewer cost of service discusses is that if the city decides to address master metering, that it should be based on the 40%. Process, and it would be a separate class of customer that then their base charge would probably be different than residential and commercial, because the revenue stream for that class of customer would be allocated based on the 40% through the base charge and the rest through the volumetric charge.
Right. So, Bill, do you think that some of the equity issue is about creating a class of master metered residential? That seems like that's...
Well, what the sewer cost of service actually did says in the future, if the utility is able to identify the accounts in its billing system that are multifamily accounts and the associated number of dwelling units for each account, we would recommend it consider establishing a separate multifamily residential customer class. For this new class of customer, the monthly base charge should then be applied per dwelling unit for each multifamily account. And the charge per dwelling unit could be adjusted to reflect the ratio of bill volume per dwelling unit for multi-unit accounts to average or typically used for single-family residents. Now, this is assuming that all multifamily accounts are master metered, which are not.
But for those that are?
Those that are, they ought to be a separate account.
I'm all for a generic recommendation, and it's just such a complex issue. It boggles my head sometimes, but I do feel like Bill makes good points in my head, and I would I would be willing, or maybe I would suggest, we have that recommendation that's generic, evaluate equity base charges for master versus individual, like kind of, or something like that, just, but very generic and directed towards the cost of service. But since I feel like you have a lot of good points and you don't feel like they've been addressed properly in the past when you've asked them, I would say, you know, we could add a line or a paragraph or a couple paragraphs that you could write to say potential areas of investigation in the next cost of service study would be, you know, customer charge when the meter service is off, or increasing this, you know, master meter fee to sum of individual meter fees, and just like list these bullet points of areas for them to
19 concerns in 2013.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you said you didn't feel like they're adequately, or you didn't feel like they looked at those. So this would give you a platform, and I would think I would be willing to support it because it seems like you have a lot of, you've thought this through a lot. So we might as well give it to these guys to look at. But I'm not ready to make a recommendation that says we need to this much detailed recommendation just because I just don't feel knowledgeable enough about it. And I know we're trying to bring us up to speed, but Jim, I'm sure Jim's over there thinking, you know, there's, you know, you're trying to answer our questions, but they're so nuanced, like without knowing a lot of other things, you're just answering the question, but we're missing out on three other questions we should be asking, and you know that.
I haven't figured out that Vulcan mine yet.
I think it's reasonable because unless you can identify the areas that should be explored in that cost of services.
Yeah, like I think like some of these other ones that go down the list, you know, Bill has recommended, and we could see if we want to make a specific recommendation, or we could just put it as potential areas or areas the task force would recommend that the next cost of service study investigates or something like that. But
I can literally see, I know it's not done at Columbia now, but we're starting to see it in bigger cities. We read a lot of information on people are putting their own generation systems in buildings and putting central utilities. And so, and really we should incentivize somebody that's trying to do something extremely efficient in a building complex. And so forcing them to put individual electric meters in every apartment is not, it disincentivizes them to do something more efficient. So you may have a master meter program in a new apartment complex because most of the utilities, the HVAC systems, you know, everything's all centrally located and they're in paid off one meter. And the only thing that's in the apartments is lights and outlets. And so should we be putting a meter on just for lights and outlets? I don't think so.
I haven't proposed that.
I know, but I'm just saying the master electric metering is something that needs to be looked at as well. That could be a future concern. It does tie with something like the RISE. I mean, the RISE didn't put in such a utility, but they could have. It could have been central heating and cooling systems. But they're putting individuals, and that's not very efficient.
No.
Yeah, I've looked at the roof of the Todd. There is so much DX cooling on there, individual DX cooling, that's twice the cost to operate than central centrifugal chilling. But that's what they're doing. Because it's cheaper first cost, and they individually cost that out.
And we'll all end up in a landfill someday.
Yes, because they don't last very long with all the refrigerants. So it's not a very sustainable way to do it. And so I think we have to recognize that cost of services will evolve, and we can't really drive to detailed, specific recommendations because it will continue to change.
Ultimately, John's going to want to weigh in on all this, so I don't know, Bill, if you heard anything today that makes you change what you've recommended or how you worded it, but it seems like I don't know if we have, it doesn't, to me, I don't think we have a consensus recommendation now. And
right.
It'll be further confused when John comes. I'm sure he'll have another point of view. So I feel like we should probably just wait on this to talk about it again until John's here.
When was the last cost of services study done?
2014.
2014, and you've done those roughly every two, 3 years?
5 years.
5 years? I mean, we could recommend at the next cost of services study that the equity issue and the metering configuration issue be addressed, including considering some of these suggestions in that cost of services. I think that's a good way to do it. But
could you repeat that for me, please, Greg? As a
at the next cost of services study, which would evaluate rates that the metering types versus single or multimeter be addressed, which may include some of the specific suggestions below or items below. And that's where you take a full detailed recommendation, take it down to just a brief statement. So they're going to be evaluated.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they'll take everything, but again, they can take some of it. They may have other ideas out there that maybe they're easier to administer.
I think it's pretty clear for sure each dwelling ought to be paying the same base charge. But there's no sewer meter.
Yeah, I like having sewer. It's separate recommendation.
I think what I feel like I'm getting confused on electric versus sewer. So that what you just talked about should just be an electric recommendation.
Well, it could be.
And then
it could be all.
We could have a separate.
But you could sub meter, you could master meter water, and you could master meter electric. So it's just addressing the master metering question for equity.
Yeah, I mean, I understand
how sewer's figured out from your water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
For the
usage charge.
Right. Right. But it's also that's the base fee that's collected. Right now, you don't collect a base fee for every dwelling in a master water meter.
Apparently it is. It wasn't in 2008. At least going in 2008. Age 11 until they changed it, 2011.
I just feel like in our report we'll have electric, we'll have sanitary. We need to have a recommendation that's just electric and a recommendation that's just sewer. And then, areas of investigation, because a lot of these are specific just to electric or just to water and sewer, so.
Okay, so it's 8:30, and we've sort of drifted into new business in our discussion regarding finance, billing, revenues. Are there other recommendations or issues regarding those that we want to address to Jim tonight while we have his time? And then we also want to give a few minutes to Bill to talk about 196.16. So questions for Bill or Jim that we might address yet this evening?
I mean, the next, pretty much all these
are combined.
Related to finance.
Right.
Bills are, or at least most of these that I'm looking at are.
Right, but we drift out of water and light into the other utilities. All right, well then, I guess we can interject or head back if we need to, but Bill, would you like to speak to City Ordinance 196-16?
As an ordinance, it's on the council agenda the last couple of meetings. Basically, what it had to do with increasing rates, base charge, commodity charge. But there's also a part of it that had to do with changing how the property is classified. I thought that that was, shouldn't have been made at this time. Also was disappointed that this task force wasn't included in the thought process of making that recommendation. It'd been in ordinance since 2011. Didn't think it'd be too much problem to leave it alone until we had our chance to review it.
Did you email that to us?
Yes.
So where is it in the council process?
We finally read Monday night one time.
And it will, how will it address the issues, or how does it fit in with the issues we've been talking about? I mean, are there recommendations that will...
They're changing the wording from...
Chris Kitchens on the 9th.
Oh, thank you.
Where it says, and serve...
Oh, it should be Carol Shakers.
By one water meter.
Awesome.
And change it to individual meter. Personally, I would have recommended the definition be shortened to say residential user is a user of a dwelling unit that is connected to the city center sewer system, period. And then remove not served by, and served by one meter or individual meter. It just goes along with everything we've been working on here. We could have been at least included in the process. I'd be equally disappointed if council approves this suggested change.
Noted and agreed, but I don't know what we can do about it now.
Right, I'm just sitting here trying to process.
I've expressed my displeasure to the council. Hopefully they'll table that portion of it and send it to us for us for our review.
Is what else is in the ordinance or
this is
rate increases?
Rate changes. That change makes no changes to what the practices are.
Yeah, is it clarifies
that a residential customer is served by a single, is metered by a single meter. It doesn't change anything in the practices. It wouldn't change anything that you guys want to recommend in the future of what might be done in the future. It simply clarifies that a residential customer is served by an individual meter.
So is that type of language in the rate ordinances that come through every year? I mean, is it just sort of standard language that you use to clarify when you have a council address?
There are often changes that are made that clarify things that are, the wording is not.
It's not boilerplate, but it's typically addressed.
If it needs to be,
right.
Were there any others that you could have included this in, Helen?
I'm sorry?
Were there any others that you've identified that you could have included this with in Holden or had us review it?
We made some changes on the electric side related to
that. We weren't part of that either.
It was my understanding you are working on long-term infrastructure funding requirements. This is an annual budget process, and that's what we are doing.
Changing the definition of residential user, is it?
And we can change it next year if need be. This is an annual budget proposal.
I'm just saying that we should inform us about it.
I think it's similar. I mean, I see what you're saying, Jim. But we did have, we've been working on this since over a year now, and that electric connection stuff seems right up our alley, and we haven't, and I know we asked for it a few weeks ago and we still haven't seen anything about it, but it's going through staff review and council looking at it. So I mean, there's a couple of things I kind of see where you're at, Bill. Seems like some of the stuff is maybe not communicated as well as it could be.
Well, if you have specific items or ordinances that you're concerned about, anybody, if you want to send me the details on your concern, I can send a message to council from the task force that says we're interested in weighing in on this.
I'd say I'm interested in weighing in on the deputy, but really interested in the user.
Okay. Will you send me a couple specific sentences about the piece you want to weigh in on?
Okay.
Okay. And we usually operate pretty informally, but is this something that we want to make a motion on since we're going to communicate as a task force?
Well, I think we want to make sure we agree with what's being recommended.
Right, exactly. That's
why. And without knowing what's being recommended, I don't know if we can agree to anything.
Okay. Well,
where do we get our hands on? What's the easiest place to find it?
19616.
Mm-hmm. We got the agenda. Oh, yeah. We just go to the city code of ordinances and.
It's
not
the code of ordinances.
It's on the agendas, right. Okay.
From the last meeting.
Right.
Okay. It's ordinance 22-262A1.
It shows the strike through and then the word added.
Just to clarify, was staff to be put on hold for their daily and monthly and weekly administrative jobs for the next year and a half while the task force works through these things? I mean, I just don't know what the expectations expressed to the staff that they're to kind of put everything that they've been in process of working on hold until
just to keep the task force informed.
Get through these, or I mean, I just don't know what the expectations expressed were, because I can also see that there are committees and task force for hundreds of things, and they got a job to do on a daily basis, and they're trying to do what they can do, and they're definitely, information is one thing, but
right,
long range versus daily budget review, annual things that are in place already. Just want to make sure that
the change was made because it reflects our current billing practice, and we thought it made it clear.
And it was a
to the customer.
So you weren't really changing anything, you were just clarifying.
We're clarifying. We're not changing anything.
But that was your intention.
No way, we're not changing the billing, we're not changing anything. It's just a reflection of clarity of what we do today.
I don't have a problem with that. No, I
Well, why don't we take a look at the staff report that was in last week's meeting prior to next week, and then we can better assess together what the quality and content of the change was about. Is that fair?
In the meantime, do we need to issue some kind of communication to the council and request that they delay? Is that the feeling of the majority of the task force?
I don't think we should intervene in that annualized process. I agree that we're really here to assess the current condition, focus towards the future, provide recommendations, not to stop the city business and control it and change it. So I would like to see that we got a little more formal on this stuff coming, but everyone's busy and something slipped through, so I understand. But I don't think that we should intervene, because we could make a recommendation for something to be changed at the next billing cycle.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you can communicate without asking to intervene, too. Mm-hmm. Right. You can tell council, we know this was addressed in this year's budget cycle. Here's where we could actually address it in the recommendations. We know there was a change in this year's budget cycle. Here's how we see it fitting into our recommendations. right. Okay. Does that plan work for you, Bill?
What's that?
To have everybody take a look at it. We'll decide how to communicate about it from there, but probably address changes where it fits in to the recommendation process we're developing.
I've already said what I felt about it.
I'm sorry?
I've already said what I felt about it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else on old and new business anybody wants to bring up this evening? All right. General comments, task force members and staff, and then we'll have a public comment. Okay. All right. John, would you like to make any public comments this evening?
Yes. Well, I'll start with PH 19616. Actually, I spent a great deal of time at the council defending your rule, because this particular change, given that you, and tonight you've been discussing this business about master meter versus individual, both on the technology level and the billing level. And I know Mr. Glasscock several meetings ago at the end saying, well, this is just a billing issue. To change this language right now, just basic, and it may make the practice, because that's the way they've been doing it. But you've been discussing about whether that should be the practice. And I beg the council to defend your prerogatives and simply get rid of this, take it up again after you made your recommendations, whatever they are. So basically, I would say defend your role in this particular stuff. I'm very glad that Bill read, and I hope he'll distribute to you, the recommendation from the Burton report, that Jim focused very much on the 40%, but I talked to the consultant, and he said, you know, when you have the capacity, by the way, COFRS and some of these things are going to allow this, plus the unification of some of the utilities, to actually get much more down to a dwelling unit or business unit base for billing. There's nothing in this about having to get rid of master meters. It's about how you're going to bill, and therefore the equities are there. For years, I've asked the council, and I'll ask you to make one of your recommendations. I like the idea about the next cost of service study, putting that in a schedule. In my opinion, Water and Light and Public Works has never asked the questions that the council really needs to have answered. The ones that Bill mentioned and you're suggesting should be in that. If it's only left up to Water and Light, basically to the staff, they'll continue to ask questions and not ask questions that will get information that will allow you to discuss things, or that the council will decide on things. So actually, I like the idea, let's do it, but make your recommendation that actually somebody else really needs to have a lot of say-so in those RFP scope of service kind of things, because you don't have all the information you need now, because actually they've never been asked for on a regular basis. I am frustrated by the focus that anyone is suggesting that we go and individually meter all kinds of things. And I'm very well aware of the technology stuff. But this is all about base billing and connection filling based on the number of actual units being served. It is not about ignoring the various technologies. It's not about saying that one building owner could say, I'm going to provide all these services and I'm going to make it part of my rent and so forth. But in terms of the city, in terms of their billing and collecting for a variety of services to equitably recover their costs. Basically, every time it's brought up, well, that's going to get in the way of technology. Actually, I've heard you say exactly the opposite, but tonight you were really emphasizing that. I don't see dealing with these billing issues as necessarily saying we've got to have individual meters to 200 apartments. Those kind of things. I just don't think that's the case. I would not agree that. I do think we're going to be in a position to do much better billing and do those kind of studies. Let's see. One, two, three, four. I think that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I respond to something?
Sure.
Every contract we ever do with engineering goes to council for approval. It's public comment. These things can be added at that time, anytime they want to. And so they're always allowed to be commented on or added to. What I would recommend that you haven't talked about tonight for sewer or anything is to have an advisory board for utilities, period. So these things can be added by an advisory board, if you, not just the water and light advisory board, but all utilities.
The first thing you said, John, you're talking about the scope of the...
Yes, okay. The scope always goes to council, and they change it and do another thing that's always up for public comment. And so, you know, that's always allowed. It could have been added at that time.
For clarification, the scope of services study that's done...
The scope of the contract that the engineers do...
Correct.
The council votes on.
Board... Water Light Board is part of that process.
Water Light is, on their side, yes.
Right, but what we don't capture is
sewer or water or solid waste.
Right, and I think we talked earlier through this dialogue, should there be a governing board for those utilities so that they have the same level of oversight from the public?
Right.
So my notion is that oversight should increase. He's exactly right. The council always could have done these things, but the council hasn't done it for 40 years. And so the idea is to recommend that not only that have the power, but in fact a much broader scope of things be included in the scope of services, because they've not routinely been asked for by any of those bodies in the past. It's not that they couldn't have been, they just weren't.
So just to clarify...
I'm talking about the unmetered services. So
right. So
water light is always
there. Right. And I would like to clarify that many of these things are asked for on water and electric. And if John has reviewed every contract we've put out, that's impressive. But he is making an accurate statement.
Okay. For everybody here who doesn't necessarily work with contracts and such a lot, just to clarify, you, for example, would create a potential scope of work. The Water and Light Board reviews it. You take input from them.
They do not review necessarily. It depends. Most contracts, they do not review. It's typical work. There are certain things that they do review.
But for a cost of services study.
Scope of services.
Scope of services.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay. So there's a public input and oversight opportunity there.
Not oversight. Right.
Input.
Review and input. And then you work on it some more, and it goes to council, and there's public input opportunity there.
Right.
And that's when the scope of services, including what would be reviewed in a cost of service study, is addressed and determined. Right. Okay. Thank you. All right. Other comments? All right. We are adjourned. Thank you very much. All right. We are adjourned.